Coming up on Blue Dot, the skies will darken, the birds will quiet, and crickets will start chirping in the daytime. It all happens next August. It's the Great American Eclipse, and we have Dr. Tyler Nordgren to tell us all about it. It's all new and all blue. Join us now. I'm Dave Schlom.
And I'm Nolan Ford.
Hey, Nolan, where are you planning to be on August 21st, 2017, around 10 o'clock in the morning?
Well, that's a Monday, so normally I'd be here at work, but I don't know, maybe I should play hooky that day. What do you think?
Yeah, well, after we talk to our guest, you might want to, because we're going to be talking about the event of your lifetime, the Great American Eclipse, next year. Well, I know someone who probably knows exactly where he's going to be, Dr. Tyler Nordgren, astronomy professor at the University of Redlands in Southern California. Best known for his work with the National Park Service doing astronomy outreach, he even coined the term, half the park is after dark. He's an artist who does really amazing posters that have a retro WPA 1930s and 40s vibe to them. His new book, Sun, Moon, Earth, just came out, and it's available at all the usual outlets. Tyler, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
An eclipse of the sun, like the aurora, is one of the grandest spectacles you can see in the sky. Can you give us a sense of why they're such an amazing thing to experience? Because I've been telling a lot of friends about this the last week or so, and they just don't seem to understand that this is really an event of a lifetime.
You know, it's one of those things that it's not just a visual experience. Just seeing a photo or reading about it, seeing a movie doesn't do it justice, because when the moon passes in front of the sun, it gets dark, it gets cold, so your hair stands up on your arms and the back of your neck. Things go quiet. You hear the birds stop chirping, and then colors get strange all around you, and it's odd. There's just everything about it is odd, and it affects all of your senses. So it's this deep immersion, full multi-sensory experience. And then on top of that, when the alignment is perfect and the moon is completely in front of the sun turns black. And this is at noon or during the middle of the day, and stars come out. And so everything in your brain just screams out, this is wrong. And that is something that no photograph can duplicate.
Let's talk about the last time this happened in our part of the world. That was in 1979, wasn't it?
Right. And it was visible only from the Pacific Northwest, so Oregon and Washington, a little bit of Montana.
And you lived in Portland at that time, right?
I was fortunate to be one of the people living right there in that path of totality where all of these amazing things happen. I was 9 years old.
I've read your book, Sun, Moon, Earth. You didn't go outside and look at it. Would you explain to us why not?
Well, I was one of these children that was bombarded by the news, what was on the evening news and radio and what I heard in school. And I loved astronomy. I loved all this stuff about the moon and sun and stars. But from what I heard about the grown-ups around me who were so afraid of us looking at the sun, that somehow I had learned that there were these special rays that came out of the sun during the moment of totality. And so if I even accidentally looked anywhere near the sun, I was sure that I would burn my eyes out. And so when the day finally came and they canceled classes, I stayed at home. I stayed indoors. I drew the curtains so I couldn't even accidentally look at the sun. And I watched it on TV. And not a year has gone by since then that I haven't felt like I was cheated out of some life-changing experience.
And just to make our listeners feel a little better, you have seen some total eclipses since then, right?
I did. It took me 20 years. I saw my very first one in 1999 in Hungary, in Europe. And it was more than I could have ever dreamed of. In a lifetime spent looking at the sky as a professional astronomer, that is still the moment that stands out in my mind. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I had known that it would be strange, that it would be unusual, but nothing could prepare me for what it was. And this is coming from a professional astronomer. And so for the average listener out there, for somebody who does not consider themselves to be an astronomically minded person, this will blow you away. This is something not to be missed. And unlike what I thought back there as a 9-year-old, there are no special rays. There is nothing inherently dangerous about this. There is no reason why any 9-year-old child out there next year should not have the chance to see the sight of a lifetime.
Well, let's talk about next year, because it's less than a year from now. And this is something that's going to be well within driving distance for everyone listening to this program. Let's talk about the Great American Eclipse. Why exactly are we calling it that?
On that day, August 21st of 2017, every single man, woman, and child in the United States, and even much of North America, will stand in at least part of the moon's shadow. So we will all get to experience something where part of the sun gets bitten away by that unseen darkness of the moon. But for those special people, and there happen to be 12 million of them that live within the band of totality, this is a narrow band that stretches from Oregon to South Carolina. It's about 100 miles wide, north and south. And for those people that are within that band, the alignment of moon and sun will be perfect, and the sky will go dark, the sun will turn black, the stars will come out, and this corona, this ghostly outer atmosphere of the sun, will become visible. And that path of totality, that band, only touches the United States next year. And so for that reason, this is being called the All-American or the Great American Total Solar Eclipse. And there's actually a moment around about 10:30 a.m. on that day where every single person in the United States, in the continental United States, will be experiencing at least a partial eclipse at that moment. And so here will be a chance that we will all be able to share in something unique and rare and joyous.
Wow. Well, let's talk about how this works. I've seen many total lunar eclipses in my lifetime, but I've never seen a total solar eclipse. I got to see the annular eclipse a couple of years ago, and that was really cool. And a lot of people in our area saw that and are still talking about the eerie light from that and the strange shadows that are cast from that. But that's still not a total solar eclipse. This is a whole level more amazing. Explain to us why a total solar eclipse is a much rarer opportunity.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the lunar eclipse that you mentioned. A lunar eclipse is when the moon passes into the Earth's shadow. And at that moment, the moon gets dark. It takes on this dark orangish color from light filtering through the Earth's atmosphere. And at that moment, anybody standing on the part of the Earth where the moon is visible gets to see that total lunar eclipse. So a total lunar eclipse is visible by about half of the world's population at that moment. But a total solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun. And so the moon casts its shadow onto the Earth. So only the people on Earth within that small shadow actually get to see the eclipse. And that means that far fewer people get to experience one of these things. And a solar eclipse happens about once, maybe twice each year. And so about once a year, only the people within this very narrow path actually get to see it. And through the chance of celestial alignment, the United States, the continental United States, has not had that lunar shadow sweep over it since 1979. Now, you mentioned this annular eclipse in 2012. Well, because the moon's orbit around the Earth is elliptical, sometimes it's a little closer to the Earth, sometimes a little farther away. And when the moon is at the farthest point from the Earth, as it passes between Earth and Sun, the moon's actually too small, appears too small to completely cover the sun. And that's what happened back in 2012 in the American Southwest. The moon was too far away. And so instead of completely covering the sun and the sun turning black, instead we had this thing called a ring of fire, where a ring of the sun's surface was left exposed. So a total solar eclipse, not only do you have to have the alignment perfect, but the moon has to be at its closest to the Earth for a total solar eclipse to happen. And that's what we're going to get next year.
You're real involved with the national parks and astronomy in the parks. Are there any parks along the path?
Yes, there are. There's some big ones and there's some small ones. So up in Oregon, there's going to be John Day Fossil Beds, a tiny little national monument up there that has some amazing fossils and painted hills, and it is directly within the path of totality. So folks there at the National Monument, they're going to see this total eclipse, this black hole sun, for about 2 minutes. As you go farther east and you get into Wyoming, then you get to Grand Tetons National Park. Grand Tetons is, in fact, the airport in Grand Tetons National Park is right there on the midline of totality. And they get about 2.5 minutes of totality. Then you get out into the East Coast, east of the Mississippi, and Great Smoky Mountains. The southern half of Great Smoky Mountains is right there within totality. And that's the nation's most visited national park. And then all along the way, you're going to have various national forests and recreation areas and lots of state parks all along the way. So many, many absolutely beautiful, spectacular places to see this. And one of the things that the national parks are sharing is that in the last decade, there's been a lot of interest in going to the parks on moonless nights to see the Milky Way, to see stars away from the light pollution of cities. Well, a total solar eclipse happens when the moon passes between Earth and Sun. So on those days, on the nights around there, there's going to be no moon visible in the sky. So go for the sun and stay for the stars. Go out to a beautiful national park or a state park or a forest, and the night before or the night after, you're going to see the Milky Way overhead, and it'll be absolutely spectacular.
You're going to get to do astronomy all the time.
Exactly, by day and by night.
You're listening to Blue Dot, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Tyler Nordgren about the Great American Eclipse of 2017. You're listening to Blue Dot, and we're talking about the Great American Eclipse of 2017. I'm talking to Dr. Tyler Nordgren. He's the astronomy professor at the University of Redlands in Southern California. He's the author of a new book, Sun, Moon, Earth. You mentioned, you know, the length of totality. This does not last very long, does it?
It doesn't. The lead-up, that partial phase while the moon slowly moves across the sun where that anticipation builds, that lasts for about an hour, hour and a half. And so, it's this amazing buildup as everyone standing around in a field or out front of their home, and they see that bite get larger and larger. But that moment where the alignment is total, where the sun is black, and where at that moment it is perfectly safe to look at the sun without your eclipse glasses, that only lasts for up to about 2.5 minutes. So it is really quite brief, but I think the beauty and awe and otherworldly aspect of it makes it so that that briefness is part of its charm. There was a total solar eclipse in 1972 or 1973 where folks chartered the prototype for the Concorde and actually had the Concorde flying at greater than the speed of sound in that path of the moon's shadow. And so they were actually able to see totality last for 70 minutes.
Wow.
But sadly, with the grounding of the Concorde fleet, nobody's been able to do that since.
That's eclipse chasing there. And and so that leads me to a follow-up question. Is it worth it, you know, for those 2 or 3 minutes to travel for hours and, you know, take the days off and things like that? You know, you're talking about a 3-minute time span. And is it worth it?
It is worth it. And I cannot stress this strongly enough that, yeah, people think about just that 2 minutes, but the lead up to it, to see that alignment of worlds and that moment where you stand within the shadow that's being cast between the planets, there is nothing else on Earth like it. And there's a reason why in our history, great moments of awe and importance are associated with total solar eclipses, whether they happen there or not. I mean, people think that they talk about the darkness of the crucifixion and say that was an eclipse, or Ragnarok, or the rapture, or the deaths of kings. People throughout history try to associate these great important moments with eclipses, and it's because when you see something that momentous, we cannot help but think it must be associated with something important. And so I would say today, if there is any way you can, drive those hours, drive that day, get into that path of totality. Here's your chance to see one without literally having to fly halfway around the world. And I have done that. And so it is still worth doing that. But here's your chance to do it with just a simple drive. The shadow of the moon is just a day's drive away.
Well, all that stuff about people being fearful through history has got Nolan looking a little bit alarmed. So I think he has a question for you now.
Yes, I'm very concerned about safety here. What kinds of precautions need to be taken to protect our eyes? And can you look at it during totality without protection?
Absolutely. During totality, during that moment when the diamond ring happens and the last light of the sun disappears fully behind the moon, at that instant it is perfectly safe. In fact, you have to take off your solar eclipse glasses, because those solar eclipse glasses, they're designed to dim the full glory, the full brightness of the sun's disk. Well, when that moon does it for you, you have to take the glasses off, and then for the next however many seconds or minutes you have until the second diamond ring appears and the sun comes out again, during those two diamond rings, it is perfectly, completely, 100% safe to look at the sun without any protection. However, leading up to that, when the sun is partially eclipsed, if there is any portion of the sun still visible, then you absolutely must have solar eclipse glasses to look at the sun. That's before and that's after. And that's also for everyone else in the United States who is not within the path of totality, for whom they will only get a partial eclipse. For those people, you must have a pair of solar eclipse glasses. Alternately, you could not look at the sun, but maybe take out a piece of cardboard with a hole in it, or maybe stand underneath a tree with overlapping leaves, and all the little holes in the leaves or the hole in your cardboard will act as a pinhole projector, and it will project an image of the partially eclipsed sun onto, say, a piece of paper or onto the sidewalk. And so you can actually see the partially eclipsed sun by looking down at these shadows and lights that are projected onto the ground.
The eclipse happens on a Monday morning, and I imagine lots of people are going to be wanting to skip work, skip school to make sure they attend this. Are you at all concerned about crowding?
That is one of the issues that we've encountered. This eclipse crosses over a lot of rural areas, and so in some places like Nebraska, Missouri, there are lots of small streets, roads, highways, and freeways that will intersect this path of totality. Out here in the West, up in Oregon and Idaho and Wyoming, there can be places with relatively few roads leading into the path of totality. Up in Oregon, Highway 26 travels along the path of totality. And one concern that many of the local towns, chambers of commerce, have up there is that you have just one lane of traffic each direction, and if suddenly everybody decides to show up that morning, or if that morning dawns and there's clouds to the east but not to the west, you could suddenly wind up with about 10,000 people all deciding that they're going to have to drive in one direction at the same time. So there are a lot of concerns. My understanding is that the Oregon Governor's Office is aware of this and is looking into the possibility perhaps of maybe the state National Guard helping out. But this is one of the things that we on the task force are trying to work with local governments across the country to be aware that something really important is going to be happening that morning. And unfortunately, this far out, we're getting a lot of people that say, how big of a deal could it possibly be? This will be a big deal. We're talking about maybe 50,000 people suddenly showing up to small towns with populations of 500. So this is something we all need to be aware of, and I encourage people, if you've got reservations or plans, try to get out to your location there within the path of totality, maybe that Saturday, that Sunday, or that Friday. Make it a weekend. Spend some time there. Help the local economy. And afterwards, after totality ends, do not immediately try to hop in your car and drive away. Give it some time. Watch the partial phase afterwards, and we can all have a really amazing weekend.
You can decline to answer this for obvious reasons, but where do you plan to be?
I'm going to be up in eastern Oregon. I'm going to be near John Day Fossil Beds National Monument up there. And it has the Willamette Valley in eastern Oregon have some of the best probabilities of clear skies, as do out in Idaho and central Wyoming. So there's some really beautiful places out here, and that's one of the wonderful things about this eclipse is it's happening during a great time of year. Many people are still off from school. Weather tends to be very good. It's going to happen during the middle of the day, so it'll be morning on the west coast, but it's going to be early afternoon on the east coast. So none of this staying up till 2 a.m. trying to see something. This is really prime location and time for as many people as possible across America to enjoy it.
You're listening to Blue Dot, and we're talking about the Great American Eclipse. It happens on August 21st, 2017, a bit after 10 a.m. Here on the West Coast. And as you just mentioned, it's probably the best chance for those of us who live in the Western United States is this one.
Correct. And for those of us out here, it's going to be an easy drive up to Oregon. Interstate 5 goes right across the path of totality through the Willamette Valley. Salem, the city of Salem, is perfectly situated. And honestly, if you have any listeners out there that love a good Pinot Noir, the Willamette Valley Pinot Noir region is right there within the path of totality. So I can't imagine a better place to really enjoy a Monday.
Real quick, tell us a bit about your book. It's called Sun, Moon, Earth. I started reading. It's very good. What was the impetus for you to write it? And tell us what kind of information it has in it that might get people fired up to watch the eclipse next year.
Well, solar eclipses are such an amazing phenomenon that people throughout history cannot help but take notice when these things happen. And so throughout our literature and myth and history, there are these stories, these appearances of the sun going black and what they have done. And having seen one for myself, I, as a scientist, knew exactly what was happening. And yet, I felt that sense of awe and knew the difference between knowing and feeling. And so I find it absolutely understandable that these were subjects of omens of doom. And really, if you think about it, these are the one phenomenon that have made that transition fully from omen of doom to scientific event to absolutely spellbinding tourist attraction. And so I want to be able to tell people about that transition. How did we go from fear to tourism? And now, today, we have people that do jet all over the world to see these things. It's a multi-million dollar industry. And at the same time, it's a phenomenon that has allowed us to learn about the sun, to discover the element of helium, to learn about Einstein's theory of general relativity, that gravity warps the fabric of space-time. So there's this wonderful story of the human drive to understand our world that's wrapped up in a total solar eclipse.
Well, Tyler, we're about out of time, but one of the things I'd like to do during the next year is periodically on the show highlight places along the path of totality that are interesting places. And you mentioned Carbondale. I thought that was fascinating. But get us started. Where would be like some of the best places in Western Oregon to see this, where it'll first happen?
So I mentioned a winery. There's a winery up in Oregon, just northwest of the town of Salem, in the hills along there, where you can stand and you can look out across the Willamette Valley and see the mountains of the Cascade Range, everything from Mount St. Helens in Washington to Mount Hood to Mount Jefferson. Mount Jefferson turns out to be within the path of totality. So as you stand there, a person will be able to look up, see the sun go black as they stand within the shadow of the moon, look out and see those different mountains of the Cascades. Some stay lit up because they're outside the path of totality, while others go dark. And it will take actually 3 minutes for that shadow to get from where you are there, northwest of Salem, to suddenly seeing that shadow darken those mountaintops. And then once totality ends where you are, you have another 3 minutes before those mountains light back up again. And so you will literally be able to see the shadow of the moon racing across the earth. I can't think of a more amazing thing to be able to see on that day.
Well, I plan on being in the path next year on August 21st, 2017. Tyler Nordgren, thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Nolan, I hope you and as many of our listeners as possible are now inspired to make plans to see the Great American Eclipse on August 21st, 2017.
Yeah, me too. And I hope that people make reservations because I feel like these campsites are going to fill up quick.
You're going to have to plan in advance to be able to do this properly. But I hope people get out and see it because it really will be the event of a lifetime, especially if you have kids. Thanks to our guest, Tyler Nordgren from the University of Redlands. If you missed any of this or want to check out previous shows, just go to mynspr.org or download our podcasts on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at NSPR News or me at Dave Schlom. Follow Nolan, but not too close because it's impolite to tailgate. I'm Dave Schlom, reminding you that from deep space, we all live on a pale blue dot.